Happy Sabbath, everyone. It's good to be here to worship together despite the online, the remote, and everywhere you're watching. Happy Sabbath and blessed Sabbath to you and your family. But before we start, I'd like to invite you to bow your head in prayers. Father in heaven, we come before you this time, this Sabbath hour, to thank you for the opportunity to worship you. Father, as we open your word, may the Holy Spirit to guide us, to give us understanding. May you put your words in my mouth. And we pray that Jesus' name may be uplifted, that you increase and I decrease. In Jesus' name you pray. Amen. On the 25th of May, 2020, George Floyd passed away, and his death sparked global movement of Black Lives Matter protest, some of which were not very peaceful. Some were very peaceful. In fact, this weekend has been planned to have another protest here in the city of Melbourne. One of the protests involved fire in different places, and one of them, fire near the White House, that President Trump went into his bunker, into underground. This reminded us that around 2,000 years ago, the death of one person also led to fire, but not on the streets, but in a house. It was a different kind of fire. The fire occurred 2 weeks ago, was outside the White House. But the fire in the Book of Acts was inside the house. The fire occurred 2 weeks ago, was a man-made fire out of anger and frustration to destroy. But the fire in the Book of Acts was from God, out of love, to give hope and comfort to the world. Let us turn your Bible to the Book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Indeed, it was a different fire. A fire was in the house. Over the next three Sabbaths, starting from today, we'll be running series with the theme Fire in the Home. And today, next week, and the week after, 13, 20th, and 27th of June, we'll be having the series. Pastor Stephen Liu will share the message next week, and Elder Johnny Wong will do the last part. Today, I'll be sharing the first one entitled Open Home. If you look at the story of Jesus, he initiated the plan of using homes. In his training of the 12 and also the 70 disciples, he taught them to find a home and focus their efforts in the home. Let's turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 11. The book of Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, chapter 10, verse 11. The Bible says, whenever you enter a city or village, search for a worthy person and stay in his home until you leave town. Jesus wanted his disciples to find a home and focus their work there. Jesus himself also did the same. Jesus went to different homes. We're going to see some examples. we're going to take four blessings of four examples of that when Jesus comes into a house. What happened when Jesus comes into a house? There are four examples. The first one, if we look at the book of Matthew chapter 8, verse 14 and 15, the Bible says, "Now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and served them." When Jesus comes into a house, Peter's mother-in-law was healed. When Jesus comes into a house, we learn the sick are healed. Friends, would you like to invite Jesus to enter into your house? Perhaps you feel sick, whether it's physically or spiritually. Would you like to invite Jesus? "Lord Jesus, please come into my house, the house of my heart, to provide the healing that we are longing, the physical or spiritual healing." Perhaps you know anyone else that you would like to invite to your home and also invite Jesus to your home, that they will also be healed. So the blessing number one, when Jesus comes into our house, the sick are healed. And the second one, in Matthew chapter 17, verse 25 to 27, the Bible says, "And when he had come into the house, Jesus said to him, 'Go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. When you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and you.'" Jesus told Peter to find money to pay a tax for Peter and for Jesus. When Jesus comes into a house, needs are met. Jesus provided the needs, whether it's physical needs or spiritual needs. Some of us may have challenges in our family with study, with work. Some of us have financial challenges. Friends, would you like to invite Jesus to your house? That when Jesus comes into the house, needs are met. And number three, blessings number three, when Jesus comes into a house, in the book of Mark, chapter 5, verse 40 to 42. The Bible says, "And they ridiculed him. When he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where this child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, 'Talita kumi,' which is translated, 'Little girl, I say to you, arise.' Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age. When they were overcome with great amazement." Friends, when Jesus comes into a house, the dead are raised. Are you experiencing spiritual death in your life? Do you feel that you felt no hope? Do you feel discouraged? You've turned away from God for so far that you felt you had no way to turn back. Friends, invite Jesus to your home. The dead were raised. Those who feel that they have spiritual death can be raised when Jesus enters into the house. Well, friends, do you desire your family to be revived? Your family spiritual life to be resurrected? When we are revived and resurrected from spiritual slumbering or spiritual death or spiritual sleep, people will be amazed of the power of Christ. So when Jesus comes into a house, the sick are healed, needs are met, the dead are raised. And the fourth one, the last one, as the example, when Jesus comes into a house, in Mark chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, "And again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered, so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them." When Jesus comes into the house was filled. People are attracted. When Jesus comes into the house, the people around us, our neighbors, would want to come. Friends, do you have anyone that you would like to invite to your home to receive the blessings, to receive the word of God? When Jesus comes into the house, friends, sick are healed, needs are met, the dead are raised, and finally people are attracted. But I want to take this into our families today. What are the blessings when we open our home? The blessings of a home, there are three blessings of opening our home. There are three blessings. As we read in the previous verse in Mark chapter 2, verse 1, let me read that again. "And again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house." Blessing number one, when Peter opened the house at that time, Jesus went into the house. When Jesus is in the house, we've learned there are many blessings, many miracles. Those are the four examples that we had earlier about the sick, about the needs, about the dead, and how people were attracted. So blessing number one of opening our home is that Jesus is going to be in the home. Blessings number two. I'd like to share this quote from a Spirit of Prophecy. "God expects personal service from everyone to whom he has entrusted a knowledge of the truth for this time. Not all can go as missionaries to foreign lands, but all," how many? "All can be home missionaries in their families and neighborhoods." Testimonies, Volume 9, page 30, paragraph 1. So blessings number two is involvement of our families in the mission. Involvement of individuals in the mission. Children will be able to see that their parents walk the talk. How can we as parents expect our children to be missionaries if we ourselves don't practice it? We want our children not only hear a mission story, but also part of the mission. Eventually, all these things, by the grace of God, it will help with our children and our families' salvation and also blessings to the world. For those who are singles or don't have children, this is an opportunity to put our mission into practice. When we learn something from the Bible, we want to share with our neighbors. We want to be involved in mission. Involving in mission is not about running programs. It's not about leading programs. It's not about doing something that we see something is big. To be involved in mission can be as simple as opening our home and inviting our neighbor to and open the Word of God and pray for them. It doesn't have to be big. Share a meal with your neighbor. Invite a friend. Share your testimonies and pray for them. I remember many years ago when our family moved to a suburb called Doncaster. We used to live in the city and then we moved to Doncaster. Then we had our first child. We still went to a care group in North Melbourne. It was in Jason's apartment in North Melbourne. And then I remember that when that was not going to be sustainable, we felt that wasn't sustainable to take babies to Friday night care group. So we decided to have a small group in our home. Isabel was only 4 months old at that time. Our home wasn't big, but it was enough. In fact, one of the criteria for us when we search for a home is that our home can be used for a small group. Our home can be used to have a fellowship and community to come into our home and to be blessed. And we decided to open. It wasn't easy, but it was a blessing that our children have been involved in that small group ministry in our home from a very young age. And that grew to be part of their lives. They were always excited for a small group when they see friends at that time was our older friends and the aunties, the uncles, they were excited. And as they grow up now, Isabel is now 12, and we've got a second one called Joseph. Joseph is 9 years old, and now they help to also play with the young ones in our home. So friends, the blessing number two is I want to share that it's involvement in mission. Let us be involved as a family, as individual, to be part of the mission by as simple as opening our home and inviting someone and praying and sharing the Word of God or our testimony with them. So just to recap, blessing number one is Jesus is in the home. Blessing number two is involvement in mission. And number three is fellowship. It is easier for us to invite our friends to come to our home than perhaps to church to some. To have fellowship and to study the Word of God, especially in current situation. I remember inviting a friend. This friend said that, I'm not a Christian. I'm not comfortable to go to a home or to church. That's the first invitation. And second invitation, so I asked this person, maybe one day. After third or fourth invitation, this person considered, you know what? I'll give it a go. That's your home, right? I will come. I want to know what it's like to have fellowship with other Christians in the home. And this person finally came and also had the opportunity to study the Bible. So the blessings of opening the home is to have that fellowship, to invite our friends, extended families, and neighbors to come to have fellowship in our home. So number one is Jesus is in the home when we open our home. Number two is that we ourselves, as well as our families, can be involved in mission. And number three, is fellowship, not only with our brothers and sisters in Christ, but also with our friends and neighbors who need Christ in their lives. Furthermore, I just want to share this quote. This quote has been a blessing to our family. When we open our home, when they see our family, more sermons can be preached. Let's read the quote from Spirit of Prophecy once more. One well-ordered, well-disciplined family tells more in behalf of Christianity than all the sermons. Then what? Then all the sermons that can be preached. The whole family is engaged in the service of the Master. And by their godly example, others are inspired to be faithful and true to God in dealing with His flock, His beautiful flock. Adventist Home, page 32. As I invited this friend came to the home, and this person was going through some marriage challenges. In fact, a few other friends of this person's friends also went through similar challenges. When this person came to our home and looked at the families and the couples and the young families in the home, this person asked me questions. Wow, you guys are different. These families seem to be very happy and have harmony in the home. I'm interested in finding out more. In fact, I want to invite my friends to come as well, that they can see happy families, happy marriage in the home. Wow, without us sharing anything verbally, others can see examples of families. One well-ordered family tells more than all the sermons that can be preached. Now, what are the ingredients to establish our home as mission field? There are three C's. Three C's as ingredients of open home. The first C. Let's read this quote first in Testimonies Volume 9. There are whole families. How many families? Whole families who might be missionaries, who could do much for Christ if they would give themselves to God, drawing near to Him and seeking Him with the whole heart. Whole families can be missionaries with this criteria: to give themselves to God, draw near to Him and seek Him with the whole heart. Friends, the first C is consecration. We need to give ourselves to God as individual and as a family. But there's an opposite of consecration, that is the unconsecration. I want to share this quote that is scary and is quite sad. The work of evangelizing the world has been greatly hindered by personal selfishness. Personal selfishness, our selfishness, is a hindrance to God's work. When we start to think of me, myself, and I, that is the hindrance to God's work. When we continue to think of, oh, what about my job? What about my family? What about my home that will be messy? What about my children? They need to have certain food or certain time for all sorts of excuses, a certain time for other things. We'll end up in finding all excuses that could be rooted in personal selfishness. Friends, it is my prayer that we can, as I shared with my families, we take away the personal selfishness and put it in the rubbish bin or put it in the toilet and flush it so that we don't have personal selfishness. And also, friends, our lives, our family, our time, our jobs, our studies, our money, and our house, they all belong to God. Let us use all those things, all the talents that we have for God. Let us use our families for God. Let us use our time for God. Let us use our home for God. I don't know, everyone has got different family situations and challenges, but people say, if there's a will, there's a way. Pray that God will impress in your mind how each family, how you, we can use our home as our mission field to bless our friends, to bless our extended families, to bless our neighbors, and take away all that selfishness. And by God's grace, by doing so, the selfishness will not grow in our children's hearts too. On the contrary, God calls for Christian families to go into communities that are in darkness and error, and work wisely and perseveringly for the Master. To answer this call requires self-sacrifice. While many are waiting to have every obstacle removed, souls are dying without hope and without God in the world. Testimonies, Volume 9, page 33. Friends, it does require self-sacrifice. When we open our home, when we are into the ministry, it requires self-sacrifice. I hope we're not the ones that mentioned that last sentence. Many are waiting to have every obstacle removed. Souls are dying without hope and without God in the world. Friends, there are still obstacles that may not be removed, but let's do with what we can. What can we do? What are the little things that we can do to be a blessing? But it does require self-sacrifice. Self-sacrifice, the opposite of personal selfishness. And Jesus is coming soon. We need to pray for us. We need to pray for our families to be revived. To be revived again. To consecrate their lives, our lives, to the Lord, as time is near. The second C. The first C is consecration. The second C is found in Matthew 18, verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. The second C is collaboration. Pray for like-minded friends and or families in the area who are excited to share the gospel, who are excited to be our prayer partner, to be accountability partners, to serve together and to support each other. Pray for two or three people. Pray for another family that we could work with to pray together for the people in the neighborhood, that we can be used to bless the communities. So the second step is collaboration. Collaboration means working together and praying together. Praying for each other, praying for the neighborhoods. and the third sea. It's not a quote, it's a tip that I could share, is to make a list of friends and neighbors to pray for and to call or text and invite to our homes. So the third C is calls. So consecration, collaboration, and calls. Whatever that means, whether you call using call with the phones, or you send text messages, or you invite them in person because they are in your area, or invite your friends, your colleagues, calls. So consecration, collaboration, and calls. These are the three C's of the ingredients of opening our home. Friends, I'd like to share the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and all things in common, and sold their possession and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. Notice this. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. It was because of the love and unity of these groups, their faithfulness that continued steadfastly. They, in the Word of God, they shared food together. They shared meals together among the apostles. They prayed together. There's all things in common, the purpose that they had. They were in one accord. And they spent time house to house, sharing meals together, praising God. Because of their love and unity, they found favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily. Wow. Friends, I look forward to that day when the Holy Spirit, this is after the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down, God added to the church daily. And the good news is, cross object lesson, it says this, these scenes, the scenes of the apostles breaking bread house to house, being added to the church daily, these scenes were to be repeated and with greater power. Wow. Friends, our time is near. Let us unite together in love and in unity to pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the latter rain, with the greater power. When we open our home, we can be a blessing. When we open our home, Jesus in the home, when we open our home, our family can be involved in mission. And friends, we can be the lights to this world. And in the last days, this is the last quote, it's the end time movement. On the last days, what the spirit of prophecy also shared. In visions of the night, representations passed before me of a great reformatory movement among God's people. Many were praising God, the sick were healed, and other miracles were wrought. A spirit of intercession was seen, even as was manifested before the great day of Pentecost. Does it sound familiar? Does it sound like the book of Acts? Hundreds and thousands were seen visiting families and opening before them the Word of God. Hearts were convicted by the power of the Holy Spirit, and a spirit of genuine conversion was manifest. On every side, doors were thrown open to the proclamation of the truth. The world seemed to be lightened with the heavenly influence. Great blessings were received to be the true and humble people of God. I heard voices of thanksgiving and praise, and there seemed to be a reformation such as we witnessed in 1844. Testimonies, Volume 9, page 126. Wow, the entire movement. Hundreds and thousands of people were seen visiting homes, visiting families, and many were convicted. Spirit of intercession was seen. Sick were healed. Miracles were wrought. This sounded like the summary of what happened when Jesus came into a house. This sounds like the book of Acts. Friends, it is time for us to be the light, to invite Jesus in our home, that we can be the light and to prepare this world for Jesus' soon coming. Would you be open your home for Jesus so that you and your families can be missionaries? Would you open your home that our friends, your friends, your extended families can be invited to share meals, to share your testimonies, to share the Word of God, and also to pray for them? Eventually, would you open your homes that all these people, when they come, as the quote shared earlier, hearts were convicted and the spirit of genuine conversion was manifested? Would you open your home? It does take self-sacrifice, but the blessings are even greater. We are called not as ordinary people. We are called as the Last Day Movement. Everything that we so-called own actually belong to God. And let us use all these things for our Master, for the glory of God's name. It will be amazing scenes when hundreds and thousands came to the homes to visit families and convicted. Let us continue to be faithful, to be faithful in our walk with Jesus as individual, as a family, and let us unite in love and in this faithfulness to prepare this world. This world sounds big. To prepare our neighbors, our extended families for that glorious day. May God bless you as you spend time in praying, as you think through the message that you have heard today with your families, to know what's the will of God in your life and how God will help you to have that desire to use your home as your mission field. May God bless you. Let us pray. Father in heaven, what a privilege, Lord, to live in such a time as this. Father, we thank you for reminding us that everything belongs to you. Lord, it is our prayer, it is our desire that we may open our homes, we may use our homes and whatever we have to bless others. Father, there are challenges that we have in our families. We don't know how to overcome all those things, but Lord, we desire to give this into your hands, that you take control. You will be the one who will open a way that we can use our home as a mission field, that our children will grow up to be your missionaries too. Not only that, that it is our prayer that our home can be the light to our communities, to bring blessings, to see it, to bring hearts into convictions that many will be saved. Father, it is our prayer that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit with greater power in the last days to come to our homes. We long to go home, Father. Keep us faithful, and also help us to be ready, and help our community to be ready for that Jesus soon coming. Thank you so much for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.